We learned last week in the second chelik of the Maimer, Atnitzavim Hayom. We learned it in the Loshon of the Balatanya. Now we're going to learn the Perush in Chassidus Mevo'eres on page Mem Dalad. Ach derech prat eichu derech hayichud umahu inyan hatshuva lama davke Rosh Hashanah biyar kosev v'chakech la'orvecha bivris Hashem alokecha. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining now how is the individual person and how is Klal Yisrael as a people and how do Klal Yisrael as a people enter into this remarkable Yichud that takes place on Rosh Hashanah. Why Davka Rosh Hashanah? In order to explain this, the Tanya teaches us the meaning of Bris. Ach kedei lahavin v'pratius yoyser ech megim liyichud b'mnei Yisrael l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'pratius, more specifically, how does this yichud between b'nei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how does this take place? Liyos nitzavim lifnei Hashem lokechem.
And what exactly is the
meaning of this avoida of tshuva? That the neshama returns to its makar, to its root, and to its shayrish, to its source, v'shayrish, and its root. And what's the connection between this tshuva and Rosh Hashanah davke? If we're talking about the pshat, we understand on a very basic level that on Rosh Hashanah it's a yom hadin, and because of the din, because of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, there's a requirement to do tshuva. But as far as that's concerned, the Rebbe's teaching us that. As far as that's concerned, we must speak in hatshuva lefimuvan ha'pashet, charat alaver v'kabbalah haba, as he explains here in the parish. That as far as the din and the mishpat of Rosh Hashanah is concerned, it would be enough to follow the regular format of hilchas tshuva, which on the most basic madrega requires regret over the past. And a Kabbalah, and a commitment to the future. And that would be it. That would be the basis of tshuva and Rosh Hashanah. But there's something else that we learned. We learned that it's the return of each and every Jew, it's the return of each and every neshama to that sherish, to the makor of Nishmas Yisrael, which you spoke a lot about, the circle. In that reality where everything is one, there's something different about the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. This return on Rosh Hashanah is different. Of course, we have to do tshuva. We have to do tshuva, charata, and a kabbalah lahaba. There's no question we have to do tshuva. But the Torah is telling us that there's something different. There's a tshuva that takes place in Rosh Hashanah that's higher than all of this. And that's what the Torah goes on to say after Atam Yitzav Hayom, Hayom is Rosh Hashanah, Kulchem, Lefnei Hashem, and goes to all the different Madregas. And then the Torah continues, there's a Mamshech Bekosuch, La'avracha Bevris Hashem Alakecha, to bring us over into the Bris of Hashem. And the Rebbe explains what's the meaning of Bris. So when we learned this last week, I'm just going to explain it more. V'inyin k'may l'moshel shnei ayahavim shekarsim b'riz b'neihem shalitivsek ahavosam. Two people who love each other. So right now the love is very strong, but they don't know what the future holds and where they're going to go and what's going to be. So they make a b'riz between them. She'ilo hoya hadov v'she'ahavat li b'kayim la'ad. Because if the cause of love, if that which brought them together and brought them to love each other, if we knew for a fact that that would exist forever, that cause of the love would be constantly there, so then it wouldn't be necessary to have any bris. A bris would not be needed. So why do people make a bris? And what's the purpose of a bris? Or even when nations make a bris, because Yireim Shem Yivutl HaDavar, because they know, everybody knows that in the future, each one's going to go his own way. And they're going to perhaps be, not only will there be somehow, not only will that feeling of Ahava, or that which caused the Ahava, will no longer be there, or will be forgotten, but it could be even Chalila, that there's a reason, that they have found reasons to disagree and even to hate each other. That could happen in the future, which we see, unfortunately, all the time. So, Elefisha Yireim Shema Yivut La'adavah, Obot La'ahava. When you have Ahava Hatliyavadav, wherever the love is a love that depends on something, Hatliyavadav, where the love is the result of something that brought about this Ahava. So when the Ahava is batal, like Chazal say, when that Ahava is betela, if the cause of that love is no longer there, so then batal Ahava. Batal Hadavar, batal Ahava. It's totally the Ahava was depending on something. That something, as we spoke about Bariches last week, is no longer here. It's no longer begolui. It's no longer revealed and open. So the Ahava that was so great and so powerful when that cause was shining in their lives, now that cause has dimmed, it's no longer seen, or it's no longer part of their conscious reality. So then the Ahava could disappear. Hashem Yigrum is a Meniyah Bivachutz. There could be a Meniyah, there could be something from the outside, as we spoke about last week, there could be something from the outside that's staring, that's obstructing the love. By decreases habris, the ahavosim ahavanitzchus. So therefore, when the ahavu is at its strength, is at its height, when there's strong in its strength, and the strong ahava, before leaving that clarity and that strong feeling that holds them together, a bris is made. By the krisis habris, tia ahavasam ahava nitzchis. And through the krisis habris, the ahava will be an ahava nitzchis. Bal timait olam ved will never collapse. Vali afridim shumanim vivayisim v'chutz. And nothing from within or out will be able to get in the way of this love. So he explains, Inyan HaBris ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'nei Yisrael. The bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and b'nei Yisrael is k'mo lahavdil HaBris ben shnei ayhavim. It's like lahavdil the bris between two ayhavim, between two who love each other. Shemat rasa hi lahavtiach, with the purpose, the objective of the bris is to guarantee, is to ensure. Shashum dava ba'olam lo yuchal lahachlish es ahavosim zel hazeh. That nothing in the world will be able to weaken the love that they have for each other. And even if there is, on the surface, there's a weakening of that love, but because of the bris that they make, the ahava, they know that the ahava is bigger and higher and deeper than the thing that originally caused the love and the emotion that they might be feeling at any given moment over the years. The ahava tliya b'davar, k'shebot l'hadavar b'tei l'ahava. By the krisas bris, by entering into this covenant, into this bris, tia ahava bilti tliya b'davar. The ahava will be bilti tliya b'davar. Then the ahava no longer depends on any particular set of circumstances or any particular cause. what they're saying in effect is that the ahava between us must transcend any specific nekuda, reason that's behind the ahava. And how does this work? Because they make between the two of them a kesher amitz v'chazak, a strong, a powerful kesher. She is yachdu v'yiskashu v'ahavasam, that they should become unified and makusha and bound to each other through their love. The kesher nifla, in a wondrous kesher, ulamalum and hatam v'adaz, this transcends anything that makes sense, anything that's rational. Sha'af sha'alpi hatam v'adas hayitzarach lufsayk ahava, that even though according to tam and das, according to reason and logic, hayitzarach lufsayk ahava, this ahava should stop, should end. It should have already ended a long time ago. They already have different lives, different interests. There have been many disagreements over the years, fights and disagreements and so on. So based upon Tam V'Das, it could not only that the love would have ended, but Iligram Ezesina. There could even be, if it would be left to Tam V'Das, there would even be hatred between these two. Afapich and Machmas Akrisis Bris. Nevertheless, because of the Krisis Bris, because of the Bris that was made, the Ahava must continue forever. The Signon Acher, a different signon, a different style. Krisas Bris, wherever there's a Bris, Aliskashvus Nafshis Ben Shnei Oyhavim, on this Hiskashvus, on this spiritual bond between two who love each other, Shemavtichim Echel Re'ehu, they make a promise. An oath. That's what the bris is. Shemavtichem echad l're'ehu lehoi v'zeh zeh bi'ahava shalamala mitam v'daz. That they're going to be committed to this relationship, to this ahava, in a way that shalamala mitam v'daz, that transcends and doesn't depend on tam v'daz, even if I don't feel that way at a particular time. Even if there's a disagreement between us. Ubimela, Gam Kishayesh Siba, Shapi Sechel, Haisa Tzvichel of Atlas Ahava. Even when there's a reason, that based upon that reason, Haisa Tzvichel of Atlas Ahava. The Ahava, based upon Seichel, the Ahava would not be able to continue. It would be bottled, based upon Seichel. Nish'eres Ahava v'sakfa, the Ahava remains in its strength, in effect, li'yos Ahava shel malam ha'seichel. Because through the Krisas Bris, the Ahava has been promoted to a level that's l'malam ha'seichel. Klamer, She'ein ahava zum yusedes al tamen v'sibais sichliyim. That the bris is a proclamation and a promise that the ahava between us is forever, and it does not depend upon reasons or explanations of pisechla. As we spoke about a lot last week, it doesn't depend on how he looks and how she looks, and whether we have money, we don't have money, whether we live in Nassau, or we live in Queens or Brooklyn. Doesn't depend on any of those pratim, but rather, even if the pratim make a lot of sense, even if it's completely seichel, and all the seichel is saying is that why did you marry this person? Let's say you married this person that he should take care of you, he should support you, right? He's not taking care of you, he's not supporting you. Whatever, he lost his job. He's a good guy. He lost his job. He's not able to. So happy seichel. If the whole reason for that marriage was to be taken care of and to be supported, So that's the havatul yibadaver. Batl hadaver, the support is batl. There's no longer any money. So then, batl ahava. So that should be the end of the love. Then there shouldn't be any ahava. So when marriage takes place, as we spoke about last week, when marriage takes place, not as an experiment, or we'll try, let's see how it goes, something like that. Is there such a musik like that in the world? Like a chavrusa or a yeshiva. We'll see how it goes. So, but instead, if the marriage takes place, if this kashrus is this kashrus for the bris, so even though there were certain things in the relationship that made it much more pleasant, and that caused the ahava to be felt in a stronger way, but the bris of the nisuin, the bris of marriage, takes it to a place which is lamala miseichel v'das. Again, I'm not talking about a situation, as I said last week, for God forbid there's something very, very, very wrong and terrible that's taking place. That's why there's a parasha of get in the Torah. But the bris is lamala miseichel. So then the ahava no longer depends on how much money this guy brings in, or how the wife looks in her outfit. It doesn't depend on that. That's a tosefes. That's good. That's nice. When those things are working out, that's nice. Ve'im lav, and if not, many times there are disagreements. Disagreement is a nice way of saying it. They're very, very bad feelings when you have a disagreement, a misunderstanding, where one expects a certain show of affection, and the other one is not coming up with that at this particular time. Not that he's or she is incapable of that, whether emotionally or physically. And obviously, I'm not going to be marach in this union, but and the other one is so hurt and put off by that he or she feels that it's a bittul of the entire relationship. And Achanami, if the entire relationship was a matter of satisfying yourself emotionally or otherwise, if that was the basis of your relationship, so batl hadavar and batl ahav, and you'll find that one could humiliate and insult and hurt the other one when there's an emotional disappointment or a physical disappointment. It could be to hit back. Again, the difference is when it's just happened a little bit, or when it's an ongoing situation where there's something terribly missing in that feeling of satisfaction, the nefesh of a guf. But when there's a bris of ahava that's real and that's strong, there can be disappointment, but it's not batla ahava. The ahava is not ruined. The love is not ruined. Batla hadava is... Not batla ahava, because api seichel, you could say that the reason that I got into this marriage is because of A. A is no longer working out for me, so there's no longer any love. But when there's a bris, an emes of bris nisuin, which is lamala from seichel and das, so even if that dover is either permanently, God forbid, or temporarily batl, the doesn't mean that the ahava is potato. The ahava doesn't go away. V'al kol pishon techas ahava zuvakesh amitzeh l'fisher bo bebris v'hiskashvis kilo nasa l'basarecha. What does the bris do? The bris makes two into one. That's what the bris is. It makes the two into a basar echad. Into a basar echad. To one flesh. Into basar echad. That this is with a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a great wonder. The bris makes the two into one flesh, one mitzias, and the same way that one cannot stop with a healthy, normal person, that he cannot stop loving himself, even though there have been many disappointments with himself. And even though there have been many, many things that Api Seichel Vadas would be telling him, as I explained last week, that if I were you, I would no longer love myself. A person like yourself should not really care for yourself. But the person can't help but love himself. And therefore he still wants to live. He doesn't want to die. Not only does he want to live, but he still wants to have a good life. That means he holds it that there's a reason for me to... I deserve something in life. I want to live and I want to have a good life. But that person told you that if he were you, that he wouldn't love himself. And Ela, what right do you have to expect anything out of life? Or what reason do you have for thinking that people should care for you, that people should love you? The teretz is that when there's a metzias of baser echad, it's impossible that one part of oneself should not love the other part of oneself. So if God forbid a truck goes over your little toe, and someone tells you, I think you should go to the hospital and take care of that, you say, what do I have with my toe? It's all the way down there. It's a shaychus to me. I'm fine up here. That toe's all the way over there. It's not such a big deal. It's ridiculous because there's a bris between your toe and your brain. There's a bris. There's a hiskashus between the toe and the brain. And the toe can't be separated from the brain. You can't say what happens down by my toe doesn't bother me. That's yourself. It's a bosa echad. Anything that's a bosa echad. You feel its pain. You feel its happiness. And that's one mitzias. That's one mitzias. The Chaimakavis explains that, you know, after when Bnei Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma, kol asher yomayim shekem, Nasa will do, so it says that Moshe meant it back, and v'yoshav Moshe, he went and he told the Bnei Yisrael what Bnei Yisrael said. Right? Moshe ben said, you know what they said? They said that the Nasa v'nishma. That's what they said. So Chaimakavis, one second please. So Chaimakavis asked, one second. The Chaimakavis asked, what does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu has to report back to the Baruch Shalom. Like the Baruch Shalom is waiting in his office. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes to say, by the way, they were good results. They said they want it. They like it. So the Baruch Hamakar says that's not the Pshat. The Baruch Shalom doesn't need anybody reporting back to him. He knows everything. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu go? Because Moshe Rabbeinu wants to give Nachas Ruach to the Baruch Shalom. That's what the Baruch Hamakar says. Even if you know that your child is smart and is good, those parents who go to PTA, those are usually the ones that go to PTA. Those parents who go to PTA, and the teacher says, oh, you're Moshele, you're Yankele. And the parents stand there, yeah, go ahead. So, yeah. Hey, he's a smart boy, he's a good boy, he's so cooperative, he's good manners. Oh, feels good. Even though you know, he's a good boy, and you know that he's a smart boy. So Hamka says that the Moshe of Yosef Moshe, the Moshe Ben went back to tell the Baruch Shalom they liked the Torah, they want the Torah. So Hamka says that it's not because of informing Hashem. Hashem is informed. He doesn't need anybody to come tell him. It feels good for the Baruch Shalom kevyachol to hear such a thing. Yeah, they want it's good. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to give nachas ruach to Baruch Shalom. That's to give nachas. So, when there's a boser echad, it's e efsher. It's not possible that I shouldn't care about. I shouldn't have nachas ruach when something good happens to one part. That I shouldn't feel nachas ruach the other part. When you hear, even though Chazal say that everybody's jealous of everybody else, except when it comes to your own children. When your own children outshine you, and again, in a normal, healthy person, then not only are you not jealous, it's the biggest simcha in the world. It's the biggest simcha in the world. Someone comes over to you and says to you, you know, I'm afraid that the boy's rebbe comes, I'm afraid to tell you that your son's turning into a much bigger Talmud Chacham than you. You're an Amharis, your son's turning into a big Talmud Chacham. You're not going to go home feeling bad. If anybody else would tell you, that this person is a big Talmud Chacham, you're not married to say. But when someone tells you your son is a Talmud Chacham, a much bigger Talmud Chacham than you, you go home singing the whole way. You're happy. Wow. Because it's a Basa Echad. It's a Basa Echad. And that's where the bris of Ahava brings the two parties into that Basa Echad. Is there something? Yes, Gila, what?
When we think about the bris, does it always in every bris include Hashem in the bris, or not necessarily?
We have a bris with Hashem.
It's always a bris with Hashem.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's what we're going to work on. Yeah, that's what we're going to work on now. We're going to see more about that in a minute. That's the bris we have with Hashem. So as a result of that, Al-Kol Pshon Techas Ahava. Even though there are showing, there are sins that are committed, but the Ahava, is stronger and covers up. The Ahava covers that up. A kol pshon t'chas, not that you don't know about the sin, but the kol pshon t'chas Ahava. Yes, sir.
So Rebbe's saying that in the mashal, the husband and wife is also, there's a krisus bris?
It's the first one that we see in Chumash. The Harila Basar Echad.
Right, but what is effecting the krisus bris? Today, between a husband and wife, the
kedushin. Mm-hmm. The kedushin is the bekayach, and then the bepayel is nisun. Mm-hmm. The bepayel is the nisun. It's this week's parsha. It's kicha kichim steyafrim. The bris that we have with the ovis is the same place we learn the bris of marriage. Isn't it amazing? The union of the Avraham Avinu buys the maras machpelah in heaven. That there should be a nitzchis between him and Sarim Hema. That marriage is not only something when the two people are alive, but even after they leave the world, there's a bris that never ever ends. That's why Avraham Avinu went to buy the Maros Machpelah.
That was just the jewelry was okay
then. Yeah, yeah. So what do we see from here? So all the Sarim talk about this, it's an interesting place to learn out from Maros Machpelah, from Misa, from death. To learn out the dinim, to learn out the halachas of how the marriage takes place, how kedushin takes place, from Stei Ephraim, because from there we learn the laws of how the acquisition of marriage takes place. So we understand that there's a bris that we have. The ovis and the imos who are yishenei chevrein, those who are sleeping in chevrein, the bris that they have with each other, and the bris that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Ovis, is something which goes beyond the grave. It transcends. That the halachas of kiikach ish isha, that the halachas of marriage are learned out, dafke from that purchase of the Maros Machpelah is a remarkable thing. It's telling us that there's a bris that goes back to the bris of the Ovis and the bris of the Amois, that binds the two together for eternity, forever.
Doesn't death cut off the relationship between the husband and wife?
As far as halach is concerned, the ishus is cut off in this world. Right. But that's a chesed from the Rabbanu Shalom, that people shouldn't be lonely while they're dragging around for another few years. That's a chesed from the Rabbanu Shalom. But in the pnimius of the pnimius, the kris has bris is a bris. Nitzchis, it's a bris lanetzach, and it's connected to the bris that we have with Eretz Yisrael, where we know in Tanakh the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is also a relationship like a zoch and a keva. It's also an meaning of nisun, of the marriage between Knesset Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And all of this comes together in Chayisar. All this comes together. The bris between a husband and wife, the bris between Tinnit Kutcher Bichu and Knesset Yisrael, and the bris between Knesset Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. All of that's happening in Chevron, which Chevron itself is the Lashon of Chibur, which he spoke about many times. It's the place of the bris, because Chevron means chibur. It means attachment, absolute attachment. And that's why on the surface of heaven, we don't see much connection there to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because on the surface of heaven, I'm not talking about buried down deep in the Machpelah, but on the surface of heaven, we see a lot of kafirs and Sinai Yisrael. You see Yishmael and Mu'aydas on the surface. And we see there's a struggle for the Jews to hold on to an inch of heaven. Every single inch is with a milchama and with Jewish blood, even though it's ours. So on the surface, the ahava, the love that God has for us, is not clear when you come to heaven. It's much clearer in Yerushalayim. We have a lot of stuff. There's an outpouring of love that you find in Yerushalayim. With all the churbans, there's still an outpouring of God's love and His presence that you feel in Yerushalayim. When you come to heaven, there are angry sneers coming from our enemies while they're either playing shezbesh, smoking hashish, or chewing garin, spitting out garinim. And we don't feel the ahava. We don't feel the love, an outpouring of love in heaven. But hein hadvan, since heaven is the makam hachibur, the chibur, the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Yishenei Heaven, those who are sleeping in heaven, is a bris that reaches so deeply into the metzias of Klal Yisrael that it's higher than any of the circumstances or any of the conditions or any of the events that are taking place in that place of the world. So with all kinds of indications on the surface of heaven that it doesn't belong to us, Chalila, and that Hashem Yisbarach is not with us, Chalila, but the bris of heaven is a bris of Nitzchius. And therefore, Davke, I don't want to call it the tourist site, but the place to go to in heaven is a place where the others are buried, where they're buried. And it tells us that bris is one that extends beyond what we see on the surface, and it's higher than that which the living can understand or experience. That's the chibur of heaven. Yeah?
I understand that all the bris that you find in the Torah are absolute. And therefore, there can't be a mashal between a marriage and a bris, between the Torah, because this is reversible.
That's why it's only a mashal. But there can be a mashal, because in Tanakh, in hundreds of places, HaKadosh Baruch himself uses the mashal. The whole Sefer Shirashim is a mashal. So we see that, like with any mashal, whenever you use a mashal with the Bari Olam, it's always exactly that. It's al derech mashal with a capital Mem, which means it's the closest we could try to, when we speak about parents and children, when we use the mashal of a basar echad between a parent and a child, or we use the mashal echad between a husband and wife where there can be a get, or there can be gerishin. So again, it's not a perfect mashal. That's why it's called a mashal. It's not that mitzvah. It's only a mashal of the mitzvah.
There are bris in between human beings. They're also irreversible. The definition of a bris is irreversible. Marriage is not a bris because it is irreversible.
But
the mashal isn't dependent. Not only because Baruch has bris in it there.
Correct. So
bris in between people, an emes of bris is irreversible.
Yes, and there is such a thing as a bris nisun as well.
But it is irreversible. But how could it be a bris?
So the only way that if it's reversible, it means that one of the two, either or both, if it's really bad, lost his mind. Either that, or there was, in other words, lost his mind, or descended into a place where the bris was not. The bris became was not a bris, but it was al pi seichel v'das, or they were posing as a couple, and they said the words, and they were officially entered into the bond of a bris, but the ahava was ahava tuli b'davar. In other words, it wasn't a true bris. It's reversible because to begin with, it might not have been a bris. But when there's a when there is a bris, it's irreversible. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, it wasn't a bris. It wasn't a bris. It smelled like one. It looked like one. There were 723 guests. There was a smorgasbord and everything else. But I guess it wasn't a bris. It was a havat libadot. They made a bris. Apparently, it wasn't a bris. And that's why I said when they descended into a place of seichel and das. So then, and api seichel, this one is not good to me. That one's not good to me. So then, batla dava, batla hava. It was an havat libadot.
The way I understood what the Rebbe was saying, the word bris really basically the synonym for commitment. But if the situation is a short-sighted commitment, without an correct kick on the whole situation, but if a person really has an idea of a commitment which is not tluya on superficial things and temporary things and like that, but if this is more than just a commitment, it's a new idea in a Torah.
It's the creation of a certain mitzvah. It's the creation of a Metzius. It's right. You're right. You're right. So therefore,
I'm saying again, the mashal to we don't need a bris to keep us going. What really bothered me was what the Rav said was that it's beyond seichel. That's the Tanya itself seems to say that lashon.
Right.
The Taka that doesn't make sense. Pshutei Kamashma. If there's no reason for this chabris right now. So why would we want to say, based on memory, we makuver? It doesn't make sense right now, Taka.
It's not a memory. Right. It's not based on memory.
It's what
you said. Right, it's not, because memories are very much influenced by our present feelings, right? We color our memories with our present feelings. If I'm feeling bad about a certain person, so even when I think back, my memory could be very much affected by the anger and the disappointment that I have right now.
That's if I'm taken by emotion. If I'm a logical person,
yes.
You know, I'm not feeling good. The feelings are irrelevant.
Okay.
I'm committed to you for reasons X, Y, and Z. So what does a bris add to that? Let's say Lahavdil.
Even if X, Y, and Z.
I'm telling you, who are very logical people.
Right.
We say, you know, they didn't marry you because you look good, you could bring home the money, or because.
Right.
They were married because they want to put the family together. And therefore, nothing could change that. They don't have a bris. It's a commitment, a mature, intelligent, logical commitment. So what does a bris add beyond a logical outlook?
The bris, we didn't say it's not possible that there could be a bris in the world besides in the specific examples that we have of Torah. I don't know if there could be such a thing between people. I don't know if that exists.
But we're reducing the word bris to just in a logical, sure.
But the Tanya is not saying that. So the Tanya is telling us that bris is a kesher amitz. It's a very powerful kesher that even when X that is so strong. That even when X, Y, and Z are either not felt or understood, that the bris will sustain the relationship.
So I'm asking the Marsha. If it doesn't make sense, Taka, what's the meaning? If it doesn't make sense, what does the bris add?
If it doesn't make sense, then what's the purpose of it?
What's the purpose?
Because this is
not in the short term doesn't make sense, and the big picture doesn't make sense. The target doesn't make sense.
No.
So why?
Because the ahava that originally it made sense at the time, and there was a hiskashus amitis and pnimis at the time. Over time, that is no longer could be no longer understood in retrospect or felt. And in that place where it's no longer understood or felt, not to say that originally, it could be there were reasons that brought it about, but then they decide, that's what the Tanya is, that's what I think he's saying, we'll look at it more, then when they decide to make a bris with each other, so that bris takes it to another level. It creates a new metzias that's not totally anymore in time of das. That's all. At this point, it's not totally in time of das. Right. Let's see a little bit more. Let's learn a little bit more and see. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's learn a little bit more. We'll see. The question will be a good question afterwards, too. Or if it's not, then you don't have to ask it afterwards. But let's try. Let's try now to continue. So he says, where are we up to? Akopsham, yeah, the parish on the bottom on Memdal. That the Karse Habris join together Achinasim Kamoi Basar Echa till they become like Basar Echa. Hainu Shain Hakrisas Bris Rakachlota Lehoiv Zezemi Bli Habet Al Kolshi Yisrachish Beneim. The Krisas Bris is not only a decision to love each other, or a commitment to love each other, mibli habet al kol shi'as rachish b'nehem, without paying attention or to turn away and not take note of any of the things that the two of them would go through. She eich efshe lahagish ken remesh, she yehu v'schaveru im halo hisnahig negdoi b'ayifan mechayiv lisna yisai. Because how can one truly feel that, to love somebody, when that person has acted in a way towards you that, again, al pi seichel v'das, should cause you not only not to love the person, but should cause you to hate the person. Ela inyan krisas, on page mem hei, ela inyan hakrisas bris, moira al geder shel achtus, krisas bris is an achtus, da anoshim kursim bris kashem boim lidei ha-hakara. It's when they come to this recognition, to this understanding, shabaymek haneshama magishim achdus kiish echad. Then the oymek in the depths of the neshama. Again, can one be mistaken? Going back to what you were saying, can one be mistaken? So they went under the chuppah, and they felt, again, that's in the marshal. They went under the chuppah, and they felt in the oymek of the neshama were mamish one, and we're committed to each other. So then, what happened that? How come, you know, 3 months later, they're ready with lawyers and the whole business? What happened if they felt? So either it was a mistake. It was really a tluy b'davar, and they were deluding each other themselves to think that it was something else, and it wasn't. And how does one know? It's a scary thing in the muscle. How does one know? Or it could be that there was something there. But they allowed the tam v'das and the effect that the seichel had on their emotions to cause them to act in a way that would bring to that get. There can be, again, in the moshul. But of course, between kutshe b'ichu and klai yisrael, that's something else. Between Hashem and klai yisrael, it's altogether different. Because that's just the moshul. So he says that el inyan hakrisas bris mar al gedah shel achdus da anoshim kursim bris kasher boim lidei hakara shel ba'emek and neshama magishim achdus kish echad. Now that might not be clear 3 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 2,000 years from now, but the krisas bris takes place because of this hakara that in the emek of the neshama the magishim achdus kish echad of a meila oyavim zelze. It comes to that hakara of achdus, which brings to that feeling of love. V'ahavikazu, this type of love, shehi toitzah mehergish shel achdus mechlatas, that is the result of a feeling of absolute achdus, i efshe shet this battle. This cannot be misbattle. This cannot disappear. Because that is like ahavas atzma, love of oneself. The kamayisha al kol pshoim techas ahava. That's just like when it comes to oneself. Al kol pshoim techas ahava. All that the ahava that a person has is able to cover or to conceal or to, not that you don't know, but to be stronger than all the pshoim, all the faults that one has within oneself. Shahavas atzman mechasa al kol pshoim. Not that you're not aware of them. The same way that the two oyhavim are aware of the difficulties and misunderstandings. They're aware of them. But the ahava is stronger. So it's al kol pshoim techasa ahava. Hainu, the gam kisha odom yodeya ba'atma shapasha. So that even though the person himself knows shapasha, that he did something wrong. Nevertheless, the ahavas atzmai, the love of self, is mechasalov. Kach ahava el chavero. So it is that the ahava towards this friend, shekaris imai bris, again in the moshul of the ahava between friends, where there's a bris, harizek my ahavas atzmai, it's like ahavas atzmai, uvemele hitachasa akol habshoim shel chavero. And the male, it's able to cover, again, not to hide or conceal, but it's stronger than all of the faults and all of the disagreements that have come over the years between the two. Linda, what is it you want?
Oh, I was just wondering, a long time ago when you said, talking about bris of marriage, and you said something about when a person remarries, were you saying that's a chesed from Hashem, so you shouldn't be lonely? What was it that you were saying?
I didn't want to get into the subject. It was the question was raised of the second marriage, and it would be.
You said the bris is forever.
I was talking about the bris between the husband and wife, the Eishes Na'urim, the first marriage,
right,
that goes beyond that. But I'm not going to go into that subject of second marriages now. So.
But you said it was Hashem's chesed for you to find.
It's a kindness of Kaddish Baruch Hu to help two people that they should have, that they should be. Can there be that same level of bris? Chazal made a distinction between the Eishes Na'urim, between that first marriage and another marriage.
Uh-huh.
There is a distinction. That doesn't mean to say that there can't be great ahava, but there is still a distinction between the first and the second. The bris of marriage, which again I only was brought up here to help with the marshal. No, it's a very good question. That inyan of the bris of Nisun is actually a wonderful sefer by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg. With the whole first part of the sefer is just on this nakuda of applying the Tanya's definition of bris to the relationship between husband and wife, and it's been translated into English, but I don't remember the name of it. Huh?
Mystery of marriage. The mystery of marriage.
Yeah, I don't remember in English because he has a few. So I don't remember the name. Maybe that could be mystery of marriage. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's a great cover with a ring on it.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. So. There's a whole section of that sefer that talks about the mashal, how this mashal of the Tanya, how it's applied to marriage. But again, as I said before, sof kol sof, it's a mashal because there is a parasha of get and there's also a parasha of death. You know, a person dies, and human beings are finite, and when it comes to the ahava between Akash Baruch and Knesset Yisrael, there it says, Ahavas Oyle Mahavtich, Halkeim Shachti Chesed. Ahavas Oyle Mahavtich, where it's an Ahavas Oyle. Any other Ahava that we speak of is a moshel of that Ahava, but it can't be the Ahavas Oyle Mahavtich between Akash Baruch and Knesset Yisrael. That's why Lachain Nikur Beloshin Kris Has Bris. That's how the Tanya explains why this takes place with a krisas bris, with this cutting or slicing, however you want to call it, of a bris. Like we see that the bris was made also by Avraham Avinu walking in between the two halves of the animals. That act of walking through the two halves is saying that we are baser echad. There's a yuvan gam oifna shakrisis bris kfishu huva pirsh Rashi al pasuk l'avrcha bevis Hashem lakacha. As Rashi explains on the pasuk l'avrcha bevis Hashem lakacha, why is it called l'avrcha bevis Hashem lakacha? Derech ha'avara, like when something passes through, l'avrcha, passing through, l'avrcha bevis Hashem lakacha. Rashi says derech ha'avara. Kach hayu korsei brises oisen. This was the custom of korsei brises. K'meish nemar ha'egel asher korsu l'shnayim v'yavru ben besar. That's how they would do it. They would go cut the animal half, and the two who were korsei bris would walk in between the pieces. T'luchayra ena muva. It's not understood. Hay maisei ha'krisa bar lister el ikra mukun ba'krisis bris. Shu inyin ha'achdus. The whole thing of a bris is to say that we're one. So why am I kairis a bris? Why am I cutting something in half to make the bris? This mice of cutting the goof of the cutting the animal in half, Meryl appeared hepech achdus. It looks like it's the opposite of achdus. It's cutting something in half. And so why do we call it krisas bris? Elohi and the senes. That's exactly the point. Shekol materosu hi lohiris shoifen haachdus ben kursei bris hu. The whole point of the bris is to show that this achdus between those who are kuris the bris, shenasam kamei shnei chalokim shel dover echad, that we've become like two parts of one thing. We're like shnei chalokim, the two parts of one. Kilo hem adam echad shemuchuluk l'shnei gufim. Like we are now, really we're one person, but we occupy two bodies and two lives. So that's why the krisas bris takes place in such a way of the kursei bris walking between two halves of one being. To say that even though we are two, we're two separate human beings, but the in pnimius, the achdus says that we're really one. The gam la'ach shekoris nois alishnayim, harayim echad be'etzim, b'kol echad ve'echud rak chatzi, ve'em l'shleimus b'leizelosai. And there can no longer be shleimus, one without the other. K'mayish ha'dover ha'nichves bilti efshori she'yesh sholem. The same way that which is cut is bilti efshori she'yesh sholem, cannot be whole. Ki'im b'yis achdus shnei chalokim, unless the two chalokim are joined together. So all of that is a mashal. And the nimshal, of course, is this is what Kosh Baruch Hu has done, and this is the meaning of the krisas bris, and that's why it says dechsiv and karis bris neged kol amcha esen eflois. This is the wonder of neged kol amcha by the bris of neged kol amcha esen eflois. Perish lo malum and atam v'das. What's a pella? A pella is something that's higher than reason. K'meishom adav lihainis niflosa ahavoscha, that the love. David said to Yonis, "Niflosa ahavoscha," that the ahav is a pella, is a wonder. Me'ata yuvenin krisas bris beninu v'ne Kosh Baruch Hu, the bris between ourselves and Hashem, she is kashrus shalomalim itam v'das, which is his kashrus that's higher than tam v'das, and the yisoid of that is what his achdus shal nishmas yisrael kadosh baruch hu, because of the achdus that is between akadosh baruch hu and nishmas yisrael. Kfi shi'avu lahalom shezom hashanah mahin anech karis bris es and neflois shemitzad habris ois akadosh baruch hu neflois, that because of the bris akadosh baruch hu is ois neflois. The symbolic act of making a bris is only to strengthen our awareness, our belief in, and our connection to the underlying achdus between ourselves and Kodesh Baruch Hu. Even though a Jew can go against Hashem now also. If a Jew wants to be Mechal Shabbos, if a Jew, God forbid, wants to go and to convert to another religion, he can do something like that. But in the Pnimius, as we spoke about last week, Lo Yidach Mena Nidach, that ultimately every Jew is a Basar Echad, Kivyochel, with Hashem. The purpose of the bris and all the tyrus of the bris and the bris that Akash Baruch Hu made with the obvious is to be mechazik within each and every one of us, that the awareness and the belief in that pella of how we're one with Akash Baruch Hu. Kineflo sein lamalami tam v'das, because a pella is something that's higher than tam v'das. Al derech ahavas yohenis nevedovich shalei amadav niflos ahavoscha liyois ahavas shemal minatam. That's what David HaMelech called it. Niflos ahavos. It's higher than that which makes sense or reason. I just want to finish the, if you don't mind, just to finish here. V'zo masha krisas bris, the last paragraph. V'zo masha krisas bris zu, dina anochi karis bris, when Hashem Zubach said, hina anochi karis bris, bola achre his iris yudgimu midas arachmim, aide maisha rabbeinu. The krisas bris takes place after the 13 midas arachmim are revealed through Moshe Rabbeinu's davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The 13 midas harachamim are revealed, and then there's a bris. She'in yonon lifol slicha u'mechilas avinus, to bring about forgiveness for the sin of the eagle. Da'ayin l'shamayshu b'nei oireh sahavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, was ma'oireh, that ahava, that's an ahava of basar echad, Shalomalim and Atam, that is true. Al Pitam, Hashem shouldn't love us anymore. We did such a terrible thing. We worship the eagle. Moshe is ma'ira that. Liyaz b'nei Yisrael, chelak havaya amai, that Hashem and Klal Yisrael, and Knesset Yisrael is one mitzias, havaya echad. Chelak Hashem amai, chelak havaya amay v'meila al kol psham tchas ahava, that there could be forgiveness, that the sins, the sin would be covered, so to speak, by the love. Vein avaynis yichum ahavdu b'medregezu b'mineso kadosh baruch hu, and the sin of the eagle would not separate between us and Hashem. By deserve v'salach t'lavanein l'chataseinu, that that would bring forgiveness. Yes. I didn't hear you. The all.
The Rambam lesson is that the Ava always is directly proportional to the Deya. The Deya is the leader, and the Ava has to be an outgrowth of that, according to what the world is explaining. But Tanya could be supersede there. This mode of approach.
Well, the Tanya is the greatest supporter of the whole system of Chabad, is that accepts that as that truth of the Seichel being Mashpia, Chabad being Mashpia down to the Midas. What the Rambam doesn't talk about there, but alludes to in other places, is that Nekuda which is Lama, that there is still something which is Lama, Lamitam Vadas, where the Tanya himself, when explaining the Chelke HaNefesh, so we understand that there's Nefesh Ruach Neshama, and the Neshama is Das, is the seichel, the das of a person. Nevertheless, there's chayin and yichida. In Pnimis HaTorah, there are madregas that are lamala mitam das. In the Rambam's writings, the lashonis of the lashon is rotzen. Rotzen, as Tani explains in the Rambam, is higher than tam das. But that's a bigger discussion, it's not for now. But even the Rambam says there's something that's lamala mitam das. That's why after you learn through the first two chelokim of Marin Avuchim, which is all Tam Vadas, at the end the Ram says in the third chelok that if you don't understand anything that I wrote, just be an Elohim. That's what he says in the third. Just do what you're supposed to.